But dear parishioners, you may have noticed that for a few Sundays now, we've been reading from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And I was comparing today's sixth chapter with last Sunday's epistle, which was chapter 5. And incidentally, we didn't hear that read in the church last Sunday because it was the Feast of Christ the King, and that Mass took precedence over the 20th Sunday after Pentecost. But then the Sunday before that was from Ephesians chapter 4. And I just found it interesting to see the focus that was in these three Sunday epistles. Two Sundays ago, St. Paul was telling us to look inside ourselves, telling us how to handle our feelings, our emotions, and among them, anger. He says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down upon your anger. Do not give place to the devil. So he's telling us to look inside. And last Sunday's epistle, I think, was also a message about looking inside. Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, for in that is debauchery. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual canticles, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. So a message for our inside, you might say. Well, today's epistle is telling us to look outside of us, and especially at the dangers, the grave dangers that are posed by the devil. And so what St. Paul will be doing today is heightening our awareness of the existence of the devil. And listen to these words again. He's talking about putting on the armor now. That's to protect from the outside, not taking so much a look on the inside. He says, our wrestling is not against flesh and blood. St. Paul isn't denying that we have an interior struggle. We do have to struggle with our flesh and blood. He himself talks about it in the epistle that we hear on Septuagesima Sunday. I chastise my body and bring it into subjection. So he knew about the interior fight we all have. He knew, even better than we, that our fallen human nature is truly our greatest enemy. But he's telling us today, look at what the devil is doing against you. Listen to these words. Our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, or so much against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Now remember, principalities and powers, we're talking about different ranks or choirs of the angels. Remember, the good angels stayed faithful to God. The bad angels refused to submit to God. They fell. They lost their goodness. They lost their holiness, but they didn't lose their power, and they didn't lose their knowledge, their superhuman knowledge. It's above us. So compound that with evil intent and the deepest kind of hatred. Now we're understanding what it means to deal with an evil, angelic being. Against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness on high. So just as God has entrusted good angels to take care of the physical ordering of the universe, keep it in good operation, so to speak, assigning guardian angels to watch over us, so on each of those levels we have demons who are trying to harm the world in a physical way, harm us in a physical way, And I think that might explain some physical injuries that occur. And especially trying to harm us spiritually. There's this tremendous battle going on, a spiritual warfare that we can't see with our bodily eyes, but it is going on. The greatest mistake, of course, is for us to be ignorant of the danger. And St. Paul is going to do his best to make sure that we are not ignorant. I'd like to relate something from history that I think shows the danger of the unseen foe. I think it's possibly the most famous photograph of all time, certainly one of the most iconic, was the photo taken of the flag raising on the island of Iwo Jima in February of 1945. Six soldiers, five Marines, one Navy corpsman raised that flag. And so powerful was that image that the saying was, it was the photo that saved the war, that made sure we would win. It came at a time when the energies of certainly our country were flagging, were really wearing down, the cost, the carnage, the sorrow. It was weighing the country down, and that flag raising was so powerful that it re-galvanized, re-energized our country. It helped with the last war bond drive that had to happen to keep funding the war effort. Three of those six flag raisers died on Iwo Jima. And it was particularly sad how each of those three died. One, the first one, believed to have been died from friendly fire. Those tragedies happen in wartime. The second died. He had gotten his men to bed down for the night in their foxholes, and he took one look above the ridge, the rim of the foxhole. The enemy got him. And the last of the three, it was towards the very end when almost all the fighting had ceased. He lost his focus just for a moment and walked into a place where there were known to be snipers, and the enemy got him. It's the unseen or unaware enemy that is the worst, because how do you prepare? Now, of course, these valiant men, these heroes of our country, they knew the enemy was there, but it was just a momentary lapse, at least in two of their cases, and their lives came to an end. So applying this in the spiritual realm, the devil is like a sniper. He knows how to get us. He is cunning. He is most wicked. That's one of the words that St. Paul says today. He is the most wicked one. He has experience. He has knowledge. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And he's going to get us if we do not have a good strategy, if we do not take precautions, if we are not aware that he is there. I think one of the points that C.S. Lewis tried to get across in his book, The Screwtape Letters, is the danger of forgetting about the existence of the devil. And indeed, the devil would be happy if people denied him or minimized him, said, oh, he's nobody really to fear. That's exactly what the devil would like to do, because then he can really do his work. So, having reminded us eloquently of the existence, the power of the devil, St. Paul gives us now the solution. We don't have to be vanquished. We can win this battle, and we must win this battle. It's all important. So, St. Paul now puts before us the image of the soldier. And how fitting at this time of the year, because in November we reflect not just upon the saints on All Saints Day, but we're reminded of the communion of saints, the union of all of those who are in the state of sanctifying grace. So that would obviously be everybody in heaven. You can't get into heaven without sanctifying grace. It's all the souls in purgatory, as greatly as they suffer, their salvation is secured because they died with sanctifying grace in their souls. And they are our brothers and sisters in the mystical body of Christ. And likewise, anyone who has membership in the church founded by Jesus Christ and is in the state of sanctifying grace, we're part of that communion, part of that union. And our all-important task is to preserve and increase sanctifying grace in our souls, and we do so as the church militant. So the church triumphant in heaven, the church suffering in purgatory, and the church militant on earth. We are in a battle. See, the souls in purgatory aren't fighting a battle anymore. They're saved. It's just that they have to go through their whatever degree of horrible suffering they have to go through to atone for their sins, and we can help them. But that's a subject for a whole other sermon. We can lessen that. But we are militant. We're in a battle, and it's not a physical battle. We're talking about the battle between good and evil. We're talking about the battle of being faithful to God. And St. Paul says, use your weapons. You need defensive armament. You need offensive armament. And he's going to spell them out in detail today. Stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth. I know I'm impressed. I'm sure many of you are when we see that soldier with his belt on and pistols, ammunition, flashlight, maybe a tool for digging. It looks formidable. It shows that he's prepared. It shows that he has a plan. It shows that he's going to protect himself. He's going to do what he has to do to fulfill his role. And that's what St. Paul's saying, girding our loins with truth. The truth is what saves us. Always aiming to be truthful in our daily lives. The police officer girds himself also. It's impressive. He knows what he is about to do, what he has to do, how he has to act. Having put on the breastplate of justice. Why did St. Paul pick justice? I'm thinking maybe because it's one of those all-encompassing virtues that justice means we fulfill not only our duties to our fellow man, but we also fulfill our duties to God. You see, we owe prayer. We owe adoration. We owe service. We owe our tithe to God. And being just means to fulfill our duty in that regard. Justice to our fellow man, never cheating, never stealing in any way. Being honest and fair in all our dealings with others, that is justice. And it's easy to fail in justice, as we can see. It takes a real effort to do that. Remember that the praise given to Saint Joseph in the New Testament is that he was a just man. That's high praise. And if it could be said of any one of us, that would be high praise, that we were always fair, always honest, always gave to people what we owed them and didn't shortchange them, that we honored and respected them. And one area of justice I think we need to examine our consciences from time to time is the good name of others. You know, St. James talks at length about the danger, the ease of sinning with our tongue, saying something that is disparaging or harmful to another's good name when we have no good reason to be doing so. Remember, to reveal a hidden sin of someone is the sin of detraction, and if it causes great harm to that person's name, we're guilty of a grave sin. So we have to be careful with what we say, to whom we say it, lest we offend or violate against justice. And I think we need to be reminded in this modern age of technological marvel of how far the word can spread, the printed word. Not the spoken word goes so far, but the printed word can go unimaginably far. And we also live in the age of the internet. When you put something on the internet, it's for the whole world to see, because anybody can access it. Ask yourself before you post something on a forum, ask yourself before you post on Facebook, is what I am putting here, is this offensive to God? Is it unjust? Does it break one of God's commandments in any way? So you see, it's very far-reaching. We can reach many people. We need to make sure that we do so for good and never, of course, for bad. So the breastplate of justice. When we work hard at the virtue of justice, that's a strong, like a metal, it's a metal thing, spiritually speaking, and the darts, the arrows will bounce off, fired by the wicked one. Having our feet shod with the readiness of the gospel of peace, living the gospel in our daily lives, with our feet where we walk, taking a good message where we go in the world, taking it to the marketplace, taking it to the public square, to the public forum. That's powerful against the devil. He would rather us take our faith and put it under a bushel. Be afraid to share it with others. Keep it in your private life. No. Our feet have to be shod with the readiness of the gospel of peace. Taking up the shield of faith. When you're using a shield, it's because projectiles are coming at you. When you're tempted, when you're tried, when you're in the thick of the battle, make an act of faith. I believe, I trust. I trust especially in God's grace, which is greater than any problem I could ever have. That's the shield of faith, believing that the grace of God can do it. And take unto you the helmet of salvation. I'm sorry, I'm not sure exactly what the significance of that. I think it might be tied with the virtue of hope. Of course, we need to protect not only the torso, we need to protect the head. We know what happens when the head is not protected. People can get severe trauma, brain injury. The head has to be protected. It's vulnerable. And then St. Paul mentions the offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, that is the Word of God. Here's the sword. The epistles, the Gospels, books of the Old Testament, books of the New Testament. We don't make any apologies for the Word of God, no matter how politically incorrect it may seem to our world that has veered off. It's the Word of God that saves. It's the sword that stands for right. God's Word never changes. God doesn't change. The truths that He's revealed, they don't change. And rather than the church try to follow the world and all of its changeableness, rather the world should follow the church. The world should follow the Word of God, the unchanging truth that is there. So, my dear brethren, let us not ever grow disheartened, even though we have a battle to fight. Remember, St. Paul lays out all that we need to have to win the battle. Remember, there's merit in the battle. And if you remember the epistle from last Feast of the All Saints, it talked about that great multitude with palms in their hands. What is a palm? It's a symbol of victory. It's for the one that fought the good fight on earth and didn't quit. May you have a glorious, shining palm of victory to have and to hold for all eternity as you enjoy your reward, having used your spiritual weapons and defeating that one that wants to bring us down with him. Let's not do it. Our souls are immortal and priceless, and they're worth the battle. The reward is great, far greater than we could ever even imagine. Let's use our weapons, persevere. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.